This is the Four Man Rush. You know, after using these life-changing products, you're going to want to join a ball sack beauty contest, buddy. I'm looking out for you too, because I have an exclusive 20% off discount on behalf of the 4-Man Rush and Manscaped. Use this code 4MRSCAPED20, okay? That's 4MRSCAPED20, all one line, right? Go to manscaped.com and you get 20% off and free shipping off of your total order. That's really good stuff. It's really good stuff. You got to check it out, right? That's 4MRSCAPED20. That's the code. Punch that in on your way out, when you check out, after you get all your goodies. And there you go, man. And enjoy keeping your ball sack in tip-top shape. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code 4MRSCAPED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And use code 4MRSCAPED20. It's 2021, folks, and you still got Bush. Change that with Manscaped. Panther Nation, what's good? We're talking Steelers tonight, folks. Last preseason game of the preseason. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Welcome, everybody, to the Four Man Rush podcast, recording live on Twitter and Facebook. Glad you guys are here. For some reason, I can't talk. Maybe it's the tequila. I don't know. Glad you guys are here, man. And as always, shout out to Manscaped for supporting the Four Man Rush podcast, all that good stuff. And of course, thank you guys for ordering from Manscaped. What's up, Shannon? How you doing? Well, how you doing? How you doing? Doing well myself. Thank you so much for asking. I'm just waiting on the fellas to get on here, and we're going to talk some Panther football. Steelers preseason game coming up, and it's going to be a doozy. After that Ravens game, hopefully we'll see a swing. Even though it's preseason, hopefully we'll see a swing and see what's going on. It's preseason. It's been kind of iffy. The defense, you know, it's a different transition with the defense. What's up, Larry? How you doing, brother? It's a different transition with the defense going into the regular season, you know, because it's defense is based on reacting. All right, or like, you know, just reacting to the ball, movement of the ball, things of that nature. What's good, Jelani? How you doing? How you doing? What's up? Hey, Steven. Hopefully this offense can get this shit together. Because, I mean, even though it's the Jets week one for us, if we can't score points, man, it's always going to be, you know, that issue. But, CMC's going to get some touches on Friday night and all that good stuff. So, you know, we'll see. Shannon said, another day to celebrate being a Panther fan. Robbie got re-signed. He sure did. Plus, we got a kicker. Hold your horses. I'm good, Jelani. I'm good. I'm just ready for Friday. I'm ready to talk football with you pops and the fellas. You know. Green Bay's looking like they're going to take the division again, so congrats on that. I don't see any competition going on with them, with Green Bay in that division, so we'll see. But doing well. Thanks for asking. We got Robbie extended to 2023, and you know, conversation on Twitter talking about maybe he'll be a trading piece because we got some young studs coming through. We'll see. Robbie and DJ have a good rapport, so I like that. What's up, boy? That defense. They gonna make some noise. Depending on our offensive line, man, if we can maintain a good stout running game, and a good stout defense. I mean, you guys know that's a recipe for winning games. So, you know, as long as we don't turn the ball over in the passing game and, you know, utilize these weapons we got, we'll see. But it all starts up front. And you know how we be talking about the offensive line, boy, I tell you. What's up, Shannon? I know it seems like a luxury that we have DJ Terrence and Shy, yeah. But 1,000-yard receivers don't grow on trees. Plus, you know, Terrence and Shy, yeah. Yeah, they do need to develop. You're right, man. They're in a good position because I think hopefully, Joe Brady has learned his lesson and we'll start utilizing tight ends more this year. And we won't have to go to, you know, four wide and things of that nature. We can just rotate the slot receiver in to mix that up. And it could be DJ in the slot. It could be Shy in the smart. It could be, you know, Terrace or whoever. And just keep the defense guessing and just get a stout run game with CMC, man. Hopefully get some one-on-one with him out in the flat and, you know, I guess a safety or a linebacker. Don't really matter. CMC's a stud. So, James, what's up, man? Do I believe in Sam Darnold? I don't know. I haven't seen enough of him. I don't know. I have to see him in a game situation with CMC behind him, right? And just see if that chemistry kicks. You know, if you know, check down when he has to, and get the ball in the space when he has to. He has the capabilities, man. If you've seen this guy play, he has flashes of, you know, some great arm strength, reading the defense in situations. I mean, I'll believe in him when I see what he's capable of. If he's not bringing those bad habits back from New York, I think we can win some games, man, and make a push for the wild card spot. But you know, we got a tough division. You know how Tampa Bay is, right? So I don't know, man. I believe he can get things done. The question is, will he resort to his old tendencies because the offensive line is a little shoddy? Will he resort to his old self again? Start turning that ball over like crazy. I'm not going to suggest you go look at his stats from the last 2 years, but I don't know. We'll see. Shannon, it would be great if we could get a Antonio Brown like pick, right? Yeah. Shy Smith is ready to play, folks. I like that kid. I like him, and then a lot of the guys from the 4-man rush like him too. He's a hell of a player. He truly is. So, but yeah, it would be great if we could have got something out of that, man. His route running capability is stellar for him to be, you know, that low in the totem pole, so to say. He's a stellar wide receiver. Love it. So appreciate you guys coming on, man. Loving it. Oh, there's Kevin Avery.
What it do?
And himself. Jay did his. Yeah, we got fans here talking about Shy Smith, next Steve Smith, man. His route running capability is nice.
What's the whoa, I come in, hey, they already talking good.
Can he get some regular season stats first? I mean, really, like,
true.
Yeah, no, I think they got the same last name. I know they both short, you know what I'm saying? Got a little rousing with his dials. I get all that, but we heat praise on in comparisons quick. You know, can it be good? Can at least early. Be as good as Kerry Colbert was when he's had a rookie year. You know, he put up some good yards. Like, let's work right up that echelon. Y'all shooting high, quick.
I'm just saying, I like how I feel in here. I like the tone of the room already.
Hey, they came in ready, man. You know, Shannon dropping some shit, man.
Oh, yeah?
Good. Will Harris, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, we got the NC on today. Uh-oh.
We all rocking the blue.
It's real.
I bet Jerry's got on gold and purple, though, you know, looking all off. That's why he ain't got the camera on.
dog. Oh, my God. Look. I'm going to turn my camera on so you can see. This is purple, actually.
See?
This is actually purple. So you was on it. You was on it. I just want people to see my logo today, though.
All right, yeah. You look better that way. Go ahead.
Wow.
Incredible. Hey. Oh, hey, who's this kicker that we signed, man? What you know about this dude?
Check out Twitter page. I just posted all. He was like eight school records at Utah State. I think it got me too late, though, to compete with Sly. I mean, that's not really a fair competition. I wouldn't get too excited yet, but he got good accomplishments. I mean, the Raiders have a good kicker, so he wasn't going to make the team there. So we'll see how he does.
Well, there you go, folks.
What, four-year starter?
Yeah. He leads the school records in points scored, 100% of his extra points made, most field goals made. I think it was like 79%. One game, he hit like 351-yarders in one game. So, I mean, see what he does. Yeah. See, we know kickers too. We don't discriminate.
I mean, but am I the only one that's not going to overreact to the misses in preseason? Like there's missed blocks in preseason. Like why kickers can't get their misses out the way, but we can tolerate everybody else. Oh, well, it's preseason. He got to work his way through. But a kicker, you know, he missed. Ah, cut him. Get rid of him. Like damn. Like, ain't we all equal? Or is it separate but equal? I mean, let me know. Talk to me, because I'm just not – don't get me wrong, I get the concern, but when you really look at what he's missed, okay, how many 6-yard field goals have been made in the history of the NFL? Maybe even 20 altogether. So him missing a 6-3-yarder, I really – yeah, it counts, but for me, it don't count, because the odds of making one is so slim anyway. But, okay, the 43-yard extra point, all right, I get it. You know, they missed a couple extra points, but Sly was still eighth in the league in field goal – accuracy last year for all the hell that we're raising. You know, now if y'all want to go back to the Linda Mari days of kicking, you know, maybe that'll make, you know, maybe you have a more appreciation. But like, you know, I'm just not the one that's worried about Joey Sly until it matters the most. You know what I'm saying? That's just me. We got bigger issues to worry about than what Joey Sly gonna do, because if we got the game coming out to him, then we failed in other areas to begin with.
I think last year he missed 3 extra points. I mean, he's got just has like focus problems, it seems like. And then we just see him miss another extra point in the preseason, like, oh, here we go again. So, I mean, is this going to be a recurring thing? You know what they always say, you know, you learn from your mistakes. You keep making the same mistake over and over again. At what point does it become a problem? I don't mind. Sly is a strong leg. He, you know, gets the ball out the end zone on touchbacks. I mean, he can make a 60-yarder. He's got the distance on him. It's just, you know, consistency. I don't think he's done enough to not have competition in camp. That's my problem with it. We shouldn't have went into camp with no kicking competition. Somebody should have been in there that was qualified to actually push him. You know, and I'm not just talking about any old body off the street. You know, talking about left tackle. I'm not saying like Greg Little is a competitor, was ever going to compete with Cam Irvin to try to have a competition there. You should have built an experienced kicker that can actually push him and bring the best out of each other.
Facts. Iron sharpens iron, that type of situation, huh?
And as strong as his leg is, I mean, okay, he was 10 of 11 from – it was 11 of 12 from 20 to 29. Mm-hmm. Perfect from 30 to 39. Missed one 40 to 49 and was 1 for 6, 50-plus. But those were some of those 60-yarders in there. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's the extra points where, you know, he's 20 first in extra point percentage. And that's just not good enough. You know, those are freebies.
Right. Well, I mean, we'll see how this carries over in the regular season, man. I don't know. Maybe he'll get a fire under his ass and he just goes into a run. Start week one.
With that said, guess who's 27th in extra point percentage?
Who?
Harrison Bucker. Oh, now what y'all think about that?
Message.
Yeah, let me just throw this monkey wrench into the conversation.
This ain't no damn tea, but it'll do. Hold on.
Sip on that shit. Sip on that shit.
Message.
Pick it up. Oh.
Yeah, man. Stats are stats, bro. All right, so, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and just jump into the conversation here. Of course, we're playing the Steelers Friday night. An old B of the A's, and it's going to be another slugfest. I guess kind of like that. kind of like that altercation in the stands of the Steelers game.
Boy, man,
who's gonna be slapping who? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Is it gonna be the Panthers slapping the Steelers, or the Steelers gonna be slapping us in the face? Wait.
Tear Karen, don't bring that bullshit down here.
If y'all haven't seen that video, man, I suggest you go see it. Wow. She wasn't ready for that. She just wasn't
like
ready.
As her boyfriend, I would have to reconsider my whole relationship with you. You done made me viral for the wrong damn reason. We here to cheer the same team.
Anyway. That was just ugly.
Karen and Kyle. I
mean, sleeping too. Bless his heart.
I can't believe he hit me.
I guess we'll start with, you know, our predictions on how things are going to pan out. I know CMC is going to be he'll be getting some touches. I'm assuming our Mr. Arnold will be starting and things of that nature. Will, you want to kick us off with what you would like to see in terms of the Steelers game, and we'll go from there.
Oh, what we know so far, Rob Rule said he wants to play his starters or at least a half. McCaffrey probably not going to play. I don't think he should. We don't really have anything to learn from him.
True.
Darnold, I know everyone's excited to see what he has, but I don't even think we're going to learn anything about him, to be honest, in a preseason game. Just to get him in rhythm and get him ready for the regular season. But either way, no matter what Darnold does, people are going to overreact. If he completes 8 of 10 passes, he's going to be a superstar and lead us to the Super Bowl. If he completes 3 out of 10 passes, the season's over, and we need to tank for what Sam Howell is it this year. So I think we just got to calm our expectations on what we see from him. I think more importantly, we want to see who's going to get on the back end of the roster. I think that's what I'm more concerned about, not necessarily the starters, but who are going to take these last few roster spots. Quarterback 2 competition, I think, is neck and neck. P.J. Walker probably won round 1. I think Will Greer obviously won round 2 because P.J. was in a bit of a slump last week. So we'll see who comes out week 3 in preseason and helps solidify that QB2 spot. Running back depth is something to look out for. You got Bonifon, you got Chuba. Running backs are we going to keep? The offensive line competition, I think that's kind of playing itself out. I expect Irvin to start week 1 at left tackle. Can Deontay Brown, you know, push John Miller for the right guard position? Probably not just yet. Elfline at left guard, maybe Daly or somebody can push him. We'll see. That's something to watch out for. Wide receiver 6 or 7, I think, is a big one. I think you got 5 locks, DJ, Robbie, Terrace Marshall, Shai Smith, and David Moore are probably your 5 locks. So who's going to win 6 and possibly 7? It's going to be Omar Bayless sneak onto the roster, Brandon Zylstra, the guy that's played, over 200 special team snaps for us, plays, I think, on most of the units too. So you're going to take a guy because of receiving skill, or you're going to take a special teams contributor for those last couple wide receiver positions. Defensive back depth, remember we're missing A.J. Bouye for the first 2 weeks. So who's going to come in and play that nickel spot? So we'll see how that cornerback situation plays out as well. And then we got the safeties. Sam Franklin going to push Justin Burris for that starting strong safety spot. And if we want to move Jeremy Chinn, play some linebacker, who's going to come in and rotate there? So I think that's what we got to be looking for, is the competition at the depth positions on these various spots, as opposed to worrying about how our starters look. Because that's meaningless. I don't think you learn anything about our starters in a preseason game.
Good point. Mr. Kev, what are your thoughts on the front playing more cohesively this week?
Yeah, well, for me, I have to go with the starters as far as trench play, particularly on the offensive line, because it matters, because you're only going to take 7, maybe 8 linemen into a game. So for me, I got to see what the starters on the offensive line going to look like, and after, looking over with Smooth, a.k.a. Larry, about the trench play, I had to realize Larry. I had to go back and I had to get a second look at the game against the Ravens. A lot of fans may not like this or think, saying, yeah, right, but for the small sample he put out there, Cam Irvin played a damn good job at left tackle this past game against the Ravens. I gotta admit, you know, that I need to, you know, get out of my sometimes biased, you know, perceptions of a player and just really evaluate him. So when I got that second look after Larry told me, and I was sitting there watching, I'm like, wow, he blocked the hell out of that dude, or damn, his feet looking good. He's like really walling him off. Like, so I don't know if all those DBO laps in Spartanburg got him in shape, hit him right. You know, if that's what it take, you know, hey, you know, I get a t-shirt to say DBO, you know what I'm saying? Let's, you know, whatever the hell it takes. But Cam Irvin, actually, I want to see what he'll do against his Steelers team, particularly Pat Elflein. You know, that's like talking about carbonated sodas for me. I mean, he's like, I'm really not seeing enough from him to really be more optimistic. I mean, I get his versatility. He can play either guard spots and center. I get all of that, but I've yet to see enough of him on film to be like, okay, that he's going to be good at left guard. Watching him on field really makes me miss Greg Van Roten, and I'll just leave it at that.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's that thinking?
Yeah. So as far as center goes, Paradis in his last year, I know he's going to be 30, 31, if I'm not mistaken, when his contract is up. I definitely like for him to finish strong. Definitely he hasn't, you know, in the few snaps that he's got, I haven't seen anything to make me think that he's not going to put out a very solid year from us now that he's totally healthy and recovered from the broken leg that kind of hampered him his first year with us. So I definitely look forward to checking that out. I know fans are talking about switching Moten to left and you know, calling Christian at right. But for all you people that think it's so easy to switch from left tackle to right tackle or vice versa, here's what I want you to do for me. You know, next time you're in the bathroom and you got to clean yourself up, instead of using the hand you always use, try using the other hand, see what the results will be. You know,
just have some soap on the side somewhere.
Right. Make sure you know, so you got your wrench off, Rad. Make sure the hot water running. Ooh, make sure, you know, you got the, you know, you may have to just jump right in the shower, but yeah, just use your other hand to see if you get the exact same results that you do with the hand that you're used to. Because folks got to realize that just because it says tackle, it doesn't mean you can play any tackle. Yes, there are a few players in the NFL that can play multiple positions either side extremely well. Yes. Primary example, Elkin Jenkins of the Green Bay Packers, who, by the way, we passed up on for Greg Little. I'm going to leave that alone in 2018. You know, draft. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So, but as a common rule of threat, it doesn't work. Some players are just left-handed players. Some are left-sided players. Some players are right-sided players. Mm-hmm. You know, just to think that you can get the same results. I mean, my God, my crush for this draft is, I'm hearing reports, is really struggling up there in Detroit right now. Panay Sewell.
Really?
Yes. Like, they saying like the struggle is real with him at right tackle.
Wow.
You know, so I will forever curse the Detroit Lions for ruining for us and for him. Mm-mm. Because best believe, if he would have failed to us at eight, I know we love J.C. Horn. God knows I do, but man, talking about this line, if we had him, would be a whole different conversation piece, trying to tell you. But anyway, if was the fifth, we'd be drunk. I get it. But yeah, for me, for this game, though, yeah, I really want to see what the starter is going to do this first half against the Steelers team. You know, you face a Mike Tomlin team. They're going to be tough. They're going to come after you. They're going to be aggressive. They're going to be timely with their blitzes. So this definitely be a good warm-up for us coming in. So that's definitely what I'm looking forward to seeing, is the actual starters on the offensive line this week for that half.
I don't Previews, man. I like previews. Jadarius, some input on the old Friday evening.
I think we're not out of the woods as far as concerns go right now. My main concern, or the, I guess the biggest question mark still on the roster, is the backup quarterback spot. I feel like we hadn't gained any ground in understanding who's quarterback two since camp started. If you look at what both PJ and Greer did on the field, you can't really fault any, you can't really find many faults in either of the games they played. And it's just going to be interesting to see, because I think by the time Friday rolls around, whoever's quarterback two is going to be getting those reps behind Darnold. So I think we haven't. And I think that's a good problem to have, because I wish they would have did this sooner. I wish they would have gave Will Greer reps with better players around him sooner, just so we can kind of see where he's at. But I'm also concerned, if I had to name a certain person, I'm really concerned about Shaq Thompson, honestly, because we were led to believe that last year, as he was starting at our mic, he was the leader, the tone setter. And at the end of the year, you even saw some of that. Like, he pulled his guys aside, rallied the troops, did all that good stuff. Boom, boom, boom. Also, Jermaine Carter got in the game. That kind of changed things a little bit. So I feel like Shaq Thompson is getting lost in the sauce a little bit. And then I ran back the snaps he played. You know, I saw a snap that looked just like last year, Shaq. Pity-patting into a wrong gap or avoiding blockers and gave up a big first down. And, like, luckily the drive, the series right after that, we got the interception. But I wasn't too thrilled at all, to say the least, for Shaq. So, with guys like Frankie Louvo, I'm not necessarily worried about linebacker. I'm more so worried that Shaq may be on the way out. With the young guys coming in with the speed and all that good stuff. But also, players aside, I think one of the legitimate concerns that we should have is red zone play calling. And even though this is preseason, we're installing our basic offense, yada, 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 this has carried over. This is not the first time we've seen issues in the red zone. We saw issues in the red zone all last year. And you can blame whoever, whatever, da, da, da. Teddy Bridgewater that got in the end zone this preseason. In the red zone, we ain't scored. I'm not sure. Have we scored in the red from the red zone?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Was that pass in Indianapolis to Trimble? Was that in the red zone?
Yeah, that was. We scored one time in the red zone all preseason. We probably visited the red zone like six times.
Yeah.
That ain't by accident.
They said by.
It ain't. Oh, I didn't even see that. Oh, yeah. The Tommy Tribble touchdown was by accident. That part was by accident. So I think it's a legitimate concern as far as people saying preseason ball don't matter as far as that's concerned. Well, we all know that's a lie, because this is not a preseason problem. This has been a problem for a whole season. So, there's going to be some interesting things to watch for in this Friday night game. And hopefully we get some answers for them.
Man, you brought up a very important point, man. This red zone situation, it has carried over. This was something that, I mean, let's be honest, this is something that we were dealing with in 2018, 2019. Our red zone woes, quote unquote. How the hell do we fix that, man? Do we you know, get down and dirty at the goal line like we tried to do on fourth and goal and get punched in the mouth? I mean, how do we fix that, Will? What do you think, man? How do we fix that red zone situation?
You know, whether you want to play in vanilla or you want to do fancy pantsy cutie pie stuff in the red zone, it comes down to one thing. Can you move guys off the ball? And I think that's what the problem is. We're not getting moving guys. We can't get movement. You know, look at the Raider game last year where, you know, fourth and inches on a game-winning drive, hand the ball off to the fullback, can't even get a push to convert fourth and inches. And at what point, you know, we've tried the cutie pie stuff with that play they tried with direct snap to Christian McCaffrey 2 years ago. Still can't get in. So, what's the common denominator with all of these red zone failures? It's offensive line. You can't move guys off the ball. You can't create running lanes. You can't get push on. Can't get push up front. Then where are you going to – how else are you going to do it? You got a cutie pie, you know, fancy pants your way into the end zone and do all this crazy reverses, misdirections, try to move guys with that, and that's just not a sustainable way to keep winning in the red zone. So until we can start, you know, buckling down, getting nasty, moving guys off the ball, you know, unfortunately we don't have Armour and Manhurts for that no more, but hopefully some of these other guys can step up. We're going to struggle in the red zone. You got to be able to run the ball. Running backs got to be able to break tackles and, you know, get that yards after contact and just punch it in. We just haven't had that yet.
Yeah, and if I can add to that real quick, Ralph, what you said, Will, if you don't mind, Tim. You know, people talking about, oh, red zone package or goal line package. Look here. Base, short yardage, red line, whatever. Any personnel package we get out there and we can't get 1 yard is a problem for me. Now, to be more technical about it, you know, when you run a base package, you only putting out 7 blockers because you got your 5 offensive linemen. Like, we had 21 personnel out there for both that third and fourth down play. So let's break it down. You got your 5 linemen. You got your tight end. That's the 1 out the formation. You got your 2 wide receivers. You got your 2 backs. So the Ravens on both cases had 9 defenders literally within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage. And if you look at both plays, the defenders that are not blocked are the ones that make the play.
Yep.
So for me, I'm looking at it as, okay, the numbers game won, but I would have liked to have seen us go, you know, heavy package to at least, you know, get that punched in. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, just for me personally, I just really think that you know, if it wasn't practice, okay, I get that part. But, you know, when it's a numbers game, I mean, it's really not that hard to figure out. You know, 9 is going to always trump 7. And then we're talking about the Ravens 9. Okay, we're not talking about, you know, this is like the Publix or the Harris Teeter of defenses. This ain't no Great Value or no Aldi's we're talking about here. We're talking about an established, reputable, high quality content type of defense. You know what I'm saying? So you know, now had that been midfield, would that put 9 in the box? I doubt it. You know, because do you really want to leave your wide receivers, your corners with no safety help, you know, playing cover 0 type coverage midfield? I doubt it. So maybe getting that one additional guy out the box could have possibly helped. But for me on that series, my issue was why we didn't have Tommy Tremble back there playing fullback instead of a Colin Thompson was my issue. Colin Thompson only had 6 career snaps as a fullback, even though he's a tight end. So just putting any old body back there just to see if it works, that's an issue for me right now. I don't know if you guys probably saw it, but we took a tight end and made him a fullback today. What's his name? What's his name? Ricci, number 87?
Giovanni Ricci.
Yeah, Giovanni Ricci. Yeah, so now don't get me wrong. Now, he blocks hard. Now, he does blocking. If any one of y'all remember former blocking tight end great for the Panthers, Richie Brocco, he kind of reminds him, you know, when he blocks. Plus, he got some hands. So I really like this tight end depth that we have. But, you know, so, it's, you know, we release, you know, the fullbacks that we took into camp. We're taking tight ends, hoping they'd be fullbacks. Like I say, we got players that are good at many but master at none. And I think eventually I hope it works out, but it's just hard for me to have confidence because on some days it ain't even about scheme. It ain't even about play calling. It's like, we're going to take this ball, we're going to shove it up your fucking throat, and ain't a damn thing you could do about it. We don't have that type of not only mind frame, but that type of demeanor and personality. Yeah, some days you want to be able to say, we're going to run the ball and you can't do nothing about it. It has to come to that at some point, and we're not there yet.
Real talk. It comes down to balls. And speaking of balls, have you guys tried Manscaped? You like that?
Segway.
If you haven't tried Manscaped, you really need to check it out. If you see this code on the ticker at the bottom, it's 4MRscape20. You guys can save 20% off your entire purchase when each and every time you go and use Manscaped. Of course, at manscaped.com. Manscaped.com. There you go. And you know, type in that code when you guys check out, man, save 20% off and get free shipping straight to your house, courtesy of the 4-Man Rush and Manscaped. It's some great stuff. Great stuff. Especially if you're an active individual, it's some good stuff, man. You guys will love it. You guys will love it. I don't know if them guys are using Manscaped or not, but damn, the balls, I don't know. They're getting the balls on the goal line, bro. I don't know, man. JD, what's your thoughts?
To keep it honest with you, I feel like our offense is predicated on spacing, and that gives me a college feel. And I shout out Mr. World Ray, that man.
Play stupid.
I feel like, hold on, let me get my thoughts back together. This man done.
Oh man, podcast listeners is just, oh yeah. God. You gotta chime in on the live, man. It's hilarious. Go ahead, Jay.
Okay, this offense is predicated on spacing. So we would spread out. It's a spread offense to me. So we would spread out and give our wide receivers space to work in space. Give our running backs room to work in space. If you look at LSU and what Joe Burrow did down there with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Terrace Marshall, got those guys in space and let them work. That's an issue in the red zone because space is constricted. And in the red zone, you got to make space. And we're just not good at that. We don't have a power. I haven't seen a solid power scheme blocking all preseason. It feels like it just feels like we're not creating that space, and not even just in the run game. I still haven't seen a rub concept, and that creates space in the passing game. Clemson whooped whoever that won. That was a game winning rub round in the red zone. So even though space is limited in the red zone, that's not an excuse. You got to find a way still. I think our offense is just so college, looks so much like a college style offense. And in the NFL, if you're not moving guys like Will said, you're going to lose.
Yep. Real talk. It's plain and simple, man. You got to punch some person in front of you in the mouth and make them move. Move, bitch. Get out the way. Get him right. Did you guys want to talk about the Ravens game at all? You know, I mean, any thoughts on any players that stood out to you that you were like, oh shit, okay.
It's time to take notice of Frankie Louvu. This whole preseason he's been making plays left and right. So I mean, what surprises him actually challenged for reps in the starting rotation for the linebackers. I thought Will Greer, I thought finally showed why he was not worth a third round pick, but a somewhat highly regarded prospect coming out. Saw some of his flashes at West Virginia, I should say. I thought he had a good career there. He just never really translated to the pros until last week. I thought Sam Franklin, the safety, made a lot of plays. You know, he's making a name for himself to push for starting reps at some point this year. So, I mean, there were a lot of good Grady Christensen. I thought he's finding a home at right tackle. He's had a solid preseason himself. So we'll see how that plays out. I mean, is he going to find a home at right tackle or somewhere on the interior as a guard? So I know people want to see him at left tackle, but I think we have to do what's best for Grady Christensen in his career, not put him out of position just because we have a need there. So I'm excited about his development as a pro. You're starting to see – the question was, would his explosive athleticism that you saw at the combine show up on tape? I think we're seeing examples of that in his first two preseason games. On the negative side, I just think we got to be more physical in the trenches up front. I mean, you look at what's his name? Bravion Roy, the tackle we drafted last year in that second D-line rotation. They were just all getting pushed around in the second half. The Ravens were just running the ball. They weren't even throwing the ball that second half. I mean, it controlled the clock, just bullying around, ran the clock out. And I mean, how are you going to – guys out there trying to make the team on that third and fourth rotation, I mean, it didn't help make a name for themselves that game. So – that's kind of what I want to see this week is, you know, can we have guys step up and make those fast few roster spots? If you think about it like this, especially with the defensive line, Derrick Brown, he's not going to play 90, 95% of the snaps. I mean, you're talking about a rotation. It's going to be maybe 60% for the starters, 40% for the second and third string or second stringers. So with that 40%, that's a lot of reps. We can't have a big drop off on the defensive line performance when our starters go onto the bench. So we're definitely going to need some of these depth pieces to step up. And plus, you know, you never know who's going to get hurt and who's going to need to step in and get some of those reps. So that's where we're at right now, man. Just guys got to step up. We got that next man up mentality, take pride in what you do. You know, your film is your resume. Let's just do better next week.
Facts. Facts. Kev, your thoughts on some of the players that stood out to you maybe from this past game with the Baltimore Ravens?
Yeah, well, for me, you know, you guys, you know, y'all know I love, you know, talking about the trenches, but I want to mention some secondary players, actually. Y'all know I love me some Kenny Robinson. I think he's had a very nice training camp and definitely started to make plays. You know, in the preseason games as well. Now, I know that he had got hurt and looks like Matt Rule said he's going to be out possibly a week or two. Mm-hmm. But he's definitely is a player that that's definitely caught my eye and definitely has, you know, been in a position to make plays and to, you know, been showing good coverage and, you know, coming up and, you know, making a tackle and things. So it's just good to see him finally get some reps, you know, guys like him and Stanley Thomas Oliver, you know, who definitely had a pretty nice game, you know, himself. So those are two guys in the secondary that I've enjoyed seeing, you know, get some time to show what they learned after their rookie season last year. But now that I mentioned them, let me go back to my bread and butter. The rookie defensive tackles that we drafted, Davion Nixon and Phil, what's his name? Hoskins? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, that's, big snack. That's what we like to be called, big snack. You know. But, you know, constantly when you see him plays being made by our backup units, you see a number 94, and you see a number 71. And I just like that because, like, you know, just for what Will was saying, you know, these are the guys that when, you know, when Derrick Brown is not in and when, you know, Daquan Jones is not in, you know, when Morgan Fox is not in, he's going to be the guys that's going to be coming in and relying on to, you know, keep this party going defensively. So I'm definitely a fan of watching these two young rookies, you know, continue to make strides and, you know, find a place to get reps in this defensive line rotation because I would love to have nothing more than, you know, a well-rested, you know, Derrick Brown and Daquan Jones heading into the fourth quarter when it's time to cash them checks. So, so yeah, that's definitely what I got my eyes set on.
JD,
I think the guy I was most impressed with was Christian Miller. Played 91% of snaps, got a QB hit, so that was good to see him finally come back on the scene and. Looks like he's getting his feet under him now. Another guy I was impressed with, even though he had a fumble, Chuba Hubbard. I saw some great pass protection that Smitty pointed out on the broadcast, and that's not something that you see many young rookie running backs doing in the league, and that separates you from the rest of the group. and gave his quarterback just enough time to get the throw off and did his job. So that was pretty satisfying to see. Two of the linebackers that stood out to me, Julian Stanford, that's number 50 with the dark visor, made some good plays in the run game, came up and stuck a couple of times. He didn't play that much, but he was originally brought in to be a special teams guy. So I thought that was pretty nice to see. Also, Clay Johnston missed a tackle, but he was flying all over the place there for a couple of drives. So I think that was good to see. I think one of the most underrated things that we have been the most fortunate at is our punter. And I know people going to give me flat for this, but we're coming off a stretch where we had, three elite level punters. We had Andy Lee at one point. We had, what's his name? Guy that came right after him. He was a rookie or a young guy. He left. And now, what's his name?
Come on, Greg Norton.
Yep. Norton was playing excellent for it, striking the ball really well. So, and then now we got Joseph Charlton playing extremely, extremely well. He started off a little rocky when he got here, but you can definitely see him coming into his own. And then the last guy I was most impressed with was Shai Smith. Hopefully we can get him some more targets, man. I think he's ready. I think they said they're force feeding Terrace. I think you can force feed Shai at this point too, just to see what he's on, you know, see what he's got. Get that man in space. You can get him the ball different ways, sweeps, in the rounds, all that good stuff. Just get the man the ball, please.
Let him loose, coach. Hey, he's special, bro. You could tell his route running is just polished. It's polished, man. Great footwork. He knows that he angles benders. You know, it's nice, man. It's nice.
You can't fake route running, bro. You can fake everything else. You can't fake route running.
Like, for real.
And the boy gets separation. Like, I mean, you know, that was one of the things that stood out to me when, you know, the first time I heard about Shai Smith was at the Senior Bowl, you know, when they was doing the highlights. And, you know, when they was showing the wide receiver versus DB drills, like he was leaving, like, good cornerback, you know, like, bruh, keep up, you know, like, you know, we're on TV, bruh, you know, don't make yourself look so bad, you know.
But, really well too, man.
Yeah, so it's my hope that, you know, with the wide receiver talent that we have, that Joe Brady, you know, actually expands our personnel groupings. I would love to see us run some 10 personnel, you know, with four wide receivers, with a McCaffrey in the back, you know, just to put pressure on the defense. Let's see how good the other teams, nickel and dime backs, their third and fourth string cornerbacks really are. You know, when you know, because if you throw out a, you know, a DJ and a Robbie, then you throw a Shai and a Terrence in a slot, okay, let's dance. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Terrence is going to be bigger than most of your nickel backs. Sure. And, you know, like we just said, for Shai getting that separation. So, you know, it just be something. Then, you know, you got to worry about what McCaffrey going to do, you know, coming out the backfield. So, you know, that would be a personal grouping that I hope they will see more, because, you know, it seems like the thing that we like to run the most is 11 personnel with three wides, a tight end, and a running back. And I get it. But with the talent we got, I really hope that that Joe Brady goes into his bag and really maximizes his way to get this talent on the field, because it's definitely there.
Yeah, I think the old school train of thought is when you're weak at the tackles, you want to play more two tight ends to try to give your tackles that help coming off the edge. Why not spread the defense out and get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quicker? So go put those four receivers out there. Let's see if they can win quickly at their release. Get that ball out and put less pressure on your tackles that way. And I think that's what Joe Brady was able to do at LSU. We talk about how their lineman's job was so easy because the ball was coming out of Joe Burrow's hands so fast, and Jefferson, Chase, and Marshall were able to get quick separation on their releases. So when you get the ball out quick, receivers can get separation. That's going to just make your offensive line's job easier as well. So you don't necessarily have to run two tight end sets to mask your tackles.
Word. 100. Digest that shit, people. We're talking football around here. Shoot. I would love to see a two tight end set. And again, we talked about this before, and I keep going back to when we had Chud as our OC, and we had, what was it, Shockey and another Shockey tight end. Shockey and Olsen. I mean, we ran a two tight end set, man, was just damaging people in the middle of the field. It'd be nice, man. It'd be nice. And I noticed somebody commented earlier that we're missing armor. I think we are.
Man, don't get me started.
For sure.
I think we are, man. Like he loved to hit people. Loved to hit people.
That's why I was like, if we ain't, you know, if we drafted his replacement, let his replacement do, because if nothing else, that's what, you know, Tommy Tremble had the reputation known for coming in, you know, coming into is that he was a vicious, nasty blocker. So, you know, with 1 yard to go, that's what I want. I want my vicious. I want my nasty. Yeah. That's what I need. This is just about straight up physics. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to beat the hell out of you until we get into this end zone. So I need guys that's built like that. So, yeah, watching Colin Thompson trying to block from the fullback position just really made me want to send a hey, big head, you know, tweet to Alex Harmon. So, you know.
Somebody mentioned earlier they reminded him of Tim Tebow. If you guys haven't seen that Tim Tebow.
He block. Wasn't that bad, because at least Thompson made contact. Tebow just curled up and just tried to just drop, roll.
He's like, yeah, let me get this grass stain on my jersey. Man. And he's on another team now, too. Go figure.
Who picked him up?
Oh, shit. Who was that? I didn't even pay attention. I scoffed at it and kept scrolling. hopefully it's a rumor. I hope somebody didn't pick that man up. I mean, gosh, man. There's people out there that can actually play that needs a roster spot. But anyway.
All right.
Lars is in the building.
He's at the wow.
Uh-huh.
Incredible.
Ooh.
Wow.
Shots fired.
That's petty. You know what? That's on me, because I trusted the film too much. I didn't. Yeah, that's on me. Boy, I dropped both Terrace and ETN, bro. ETN out for the season. That's wild.
Yeah,
they just had it out for me. That's all.
You got two elite quarterbacks, though.
Yeah, we gonna dot up, but we gonna be trash. We gonna be garbage.
Oh, man.
At least we're gonna be like the top of the can. We ain't gonna be at the bottom of the can while the juice at. I'm gonna get a win or two.
Word.
Monty gonna forget to set his lineup.
Oh. My daughter gonna smoke him for them new pair of sneaks.
Hey,
look, Jelani got it. I don't want no smoke. I'm just trying to get this little 1-2 win season out and then go.
Look, she drafted, you know, y'all want to know the funny part about that draft? She told me later they had some sort of kind of like situation in the house. Her about 2/3 of her lineup was auto drafted. So when she got both Kelsey and Kittle at tight end, I'm like,
whoa.
Oh.
How in the world? Wow.
She got Claypool from me. I should have drafted Claypool instead of second guessing that.
Oh, I already know who. So when you got those two tight ends, you know you can just flop them and be your flex at any day. She like, Daddy, you know I hate the 49ers. I want to take none of their players. It was set on auto draft, and I ain't get to the last 5 picks. I'm like, oh, well, you got a squad.
Yeah, I know, right? It's about numbers. Shoot.
And just let y'all know, we're talking about the 4-man rush fantasy draft that we just had this past Monday. So,
You gonna open it up to the public sometime down the road?
Sure. Why not? I mean, hey, you know, if anybody's interested,
who knows? Anybody want to touch on the question here? What you guys think about the safety depth that we have right now?
Not a lot of big names, but a lot of talent. I think your starters are kind of penciled in already. It's going to be Jeremy Chinn, at free safety, and Justin Burris at strong safety. And Phil Snow had mentioned he wanted Jeremy Chinn at free safety because he felt like he took a little bit of a beating playing in the box so much. So, I mean, you think he's going to have somewhat of a similar role he did last year. That's just a guy you want near the football so he can fly around and make plays, but you want to also limit his reps that close to the line of scrimmage so he's not taking that beating. I mean, it's a 17-game season, and those are a lot of hits, you know, trying to take on blockers, you know, being in on every tackle, you know, just got to, you know, tackling tight ends, banging with fullbacks. So, you know, playing him in a free safety just allows him to roam around the field still, but not take as many hits and get as beat up as he was on the back end. But behind them, I think you got a lot of young, talented guys that have played well. I mean, it starts with my guy, Sam Franklin, who I was high on coming out of Temple as an undrafted free agent. He got a few reps last season, got a sack on Patrick Mahomes, very next play, got another tackle for loss, if I recall, had a big pass breakup against Julio Jones last year in the Falcon game. So, and we'll see what he does in his year two development curve. I mean, I think he's a guy that has starter potential and may even beat out Justin Burris before the season's over. Kenny Robinson, he's more of a true, pure free safety. Unfortunately, he got injured. I think he's out 2 weeks, but he had a great game last week. I think he was one of our best performers against the Colts. And then behind them, I think you got more depth guys who may try to sneak in and get on the roster, like Sean Chandler, who's at a great camp. I think he's at third string safety right now, so it might be a bit of a long shot. But, I mean, hey, we keep five safeties, you know, he'll be right there in the mix. Miles Hartsfield, you know, he has the ability to play either a deep free safety or come down cover as a nickel. I mean, he was also a running back, I think, at Ole Miss in college. So he's just kind of an athlete that you want on your roster that can also come in and provide matchup advantages for your defense. So it's not the biggest – names you'll see, you know, no all pro type guys behind, besides Chin, who I think has that type of potential. But a lot of young guys with a lot of upside potential, they get better every week, they work hard, they fly around the ball, they're trash talkers. I think once you get to know them and see them play, you'll like them.
Mm. Word. Kevin, you want to take Charles's question here? Do you think Fitterer going to look to fix this line after cuts? And what would you think if he made a call to Cap as a backup quarterback? Yeah, we're still talking about Kaepernick, folks. That's right. Well, Kevin.
And the only Cap I care about is the latest Panthers Cap. You know what I'm saying? Hey. Like, that's... No. Matter of fact, hell no. Fuck no. I don't even know any other language, but no. This the Cap we got around here. This the Cap that's gonna be on the team. Pound the Cap. You know what I'm saying? But
no Cap.
Yeah, right. But as far as looking to fix this line after the cuts, I think he'll look to see who's out there. But it seems like Rule does have his mind set up. So unless there's a surprise cut, that's a significant improvement. Because every year it seems like there is some surprise cuts. Like, damn, they really let this guy go? You know, so it'll be something to take a look at here. But I'd be more on the side of saying that we're going to roll with the guys that's been in the playbook, that's been getting the reps so far. But he's definitely not afraid about pulling the pulling the trigger here. Mm-hmm. As far as that regards. And this question, what are y'all opinion on Sam? Was it Franklin? That what you put up, Tim?
I'm thinking she's asking Sam for real.
I think Darnold.
Yeah.
Well, we could talk about all the Sams, really. shoot.
Let's start with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, me. Y'all know I'm on record. I was not happy when we traded for Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't been the ones overly excited, but I haven't been the one trying to run him in the ground like a lot of you Camther fans out there or you know, just anybody that's not Cam is not good enough and wish death on anybody else to play quarterback for us. You know, y'all can get the hell on with that. But Mary, if you're talking about Sam Darnold, I'm just going to be honest with you guys. Like, I know we didn't see much, you know, with the two passes, but, you know, just from what's seen in practice, for whatever that's worth, he's been okay. He's been good. He's been like a C-plus student. He hasn't I mean, he's done had some wild plays, and he done had some, bro, what are you doing plays? But one thing he hasn't had a lot of in camp is interceptions. Now, again, it's practice, so, you know, take it for what it's worth. And he's only thrown two passes in preseason so far. So him getting a full half against this Steelers defense, I definitely want to see. And now she's talking about Sam Franklin. You know, I owe it to Will for, you know, putting me on the potential of Sam, because I think he was like, working at Applebee's or something when Rule gave him a call to, you know, come join the team last year. And, you know, at one point, you know, was like starting, you know, after Burris got hurt. So, as far as Sam Franklin goes, I definitely, if he pushes and earns a spot, I'm all for it. But y'all know that Phil Snow like to run three safety packages, right? So, you know, it's going to be times we're going to see three safeties on the field, you know, lined up. So Merriweather, Sam Franklin, Sam Darnold, that's how I feel.
Word. JD, how do you feel about old Sammy? Darnold, that is.
Sam Darnold, if I had to put it in three words, talented but inconsistent. And I think Panthers. Yeah. Real talk.
He's right at home.
He's right in. No cap. I think I was not a fan of it just because of the capital we did give up. I felt like we moved from a bridge to a bridge quarterback. So it felt like a lateral move. And I'm not a fan of giving up that much capital, even though people are like, oh, it ain't nothing but a second round pick next year. You ain't going to miss it until it's next year. To be honest, we have no clue how deep this next class is going to be right now. Like with people declaring and all this other stuff changing, and the football season hadn't even started yet for college. It's like it's so fluid right now that we could really miss that second round pick. And for a team that doesn't have – well, has a lot of young players and a lot of question marks still on the O-line, yo, that could be a starter for the next 5 years. And I just think – for a lateral move, if this move was for an established quarterback coming in day one and we had an established offensive line for that established quarterback, I would be a fan of the move. But being that we don't have an established quarterback, we had a bridge – and we don't have an established O-line. We just recently, this preseason, this training camp, extended our best offensive lineman. And now now we might have to move him over to the other side just so our quarterback doesn't die. It's a fluid situation. I think people are giving too much credit to the quarterback position when the quarterback can't do his job if the offensive line ain't doing their job.
Well, there you go, folks. That's how we feel about Sam. I agree with all you guys, to be honest with you, man. It's the inconsistency for me. I mentioned this on social media earlier. To me personally, if Sam Darnold comes in and, you know, he revisits his, you know, Jets statistics with this team, getting rid of Teddy was a bad idea. Because we didn't accomplish anything. At least Teddy knew the system, and he already had a rapport with the receiver class that we have. He had 2,000 yard receivers. I mean, if Sam can't pull that off, man, I'm gonna have issues. But you also have to throw in the fact that if we have a healthy CMC, that might not be an issue anyway. Because CMC is gonna take a lot of pressure off of Sam that he didn't do with Teddy.
You know, and we're going to have some fans trying to compare all the quarterbacks between Cam, Teddy, and Sam. You know, somebody going to be that one, you know, even, doing a weekly update on all three quarterbacks, you know. Even Phil. So it's just it's going to be crazy, man. But, what type of stats, and I know, you know, people like thoughts, but what kind of stats would be considered a good year for Sam? As far as like touchdown, interception, like yardage wise, like what would y'all say would be considered? You know what? this was a good move for us? Like, what type of numbers would make y'all feel comfortable that we made the move for Sam this year? That's, like, within reason.
Go ahead, Will.
I mean, let's keep it a buck. The guy had 9 touchdowns and 11 interceptions last year. So, I mean, we're starting from rock bottom. I mean, let's keep it a buck. He was the worst rated quarterback in the league, 32. So let's not sugarcoat that. He hasn't been good. I don't know what the circumstances weren't great. I'll give him that. His talent is undeniable. I can't take that away from him. He's a very good athlete. He's got very good arm talent. He showed a lot of flash plays on tape, but I mean, you are what you put on tape. You are what your resume says you are. I mean, he was the lowest rated quarterback, 32, in the entire NFL last year. On 9 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. So what kind of improvement can you expect realistically going from 32 to what? Maybe, top 20, 25, 20, 25 range, be kind of a below average type guy. Maybe give us 21 TDs, 15 interceptions, 3,500 yards, something like that. I think that's kind of a step in the right direction off where we came from last year. I mean, I think we're going to be a running team, to be honest. I mean, they're going to pound the rock. I mean, Christian McCaffrey is going to get his, 350 touches plus. We got a lot of depth behind him. They're going to get their touches. I think you're going to see a lot of short passing game isn't going anywhere. DJ will get his screens, get his reverses, make his plays like that. So I think they'll take a lot of pressure off him. And I could just see him kind of maybe 20 touchdowns, 21 TDs, maybe 15 interceptions. And I think that's where we're kind of see a good step forward for him over last year. But let's not expect him to go from 32 to top 5 making Pro Bowls and throwing 50 touchdowns. Let's be realistic in his progression and development. He's got to get better. He's not there yet. We just got to see a slow progression to give us something to look forward to. Because I think next year is his true prove it year.
That makes sense. JD, you want to answer Kevin's question?
I don't like playing the numbers game because there's so many variables.
That's true.
That we're looking at. Like, this is not the same team that we had last year. No. We're adding so many other weapons. We lost two of our best blockers wasn't even O-line, but we lost them this offseason. So it's like, it's too many variables for me to say, but I would think given his track record, he's never had an interception percentage under 3. So 3%, then that's pretty low. So I would say anywhere mid-20s. So we're thinking 25 and anywhere low teens for mid-20s for touchdowns. So like plus or minus 2. So we'll say like 23 touchdowns. The most interceptions he's had in the season, probably 15, is rookie year. So I would say anything under 14 for interceptions and anything at or above 24 for touchdowns would be, a reasonable outcome. But I don't think that's necessarily a win, if that makes sense, just because we got so many pieces that are new. We adding Dan Arnold. First time we're going to have a tight end actually be something of some semblance of a weapon in the passing game since Greg Olsen. So I have no clue how this offense is going to look. But as long as he gives me under 14 interceptions, about 24 touchdowns, I guess that'll be acceptable.
Yeah. Our very own Larry. For him, our smooth, he's 3,800 yards, 25 touchdowns, 13 picks. We have our man, JD Costin, 910 from Twitter, 3,850, 3,850 yards, 24 touchdowns, 11 picks. That's where I would place my number assessment. Kevin, what do you think?
This might surprise you because I said that I wasn't a fan of his, but he had 9 this past year. I'm going to say he triples that. I'm going to go with I'm going to go with a 3-1 touchdown interception ratio. I said 27 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Because, my God, you got a Christian McCaffrey to hand that motherfucking ball off to. That's like, true. like respect our play action. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, the possibility of seeing a DJ or Robbie Anderson, you know, with one-on-one coverage because you got to respect the play action. You know, because if you guys going to sit back with just 7 in the box, even though we don't have the best offensive line, with Chris McCaffrey, I'll take that all day. Yeah, play a base defense, and just have your regular 7 defenders in the box. I'll play the odds with that with a motivated something to prove McCaffrey, you know what I'm saying, coming back. But, yeah, so put me down for Sam Darnold. 27 touchdowns, and I'm gonna say he keeps it right up under 10. I'm gonna say 9 interceptions. I like Smooth say about 3,800 yards, and that's what I'll do.
Yeah. If he do that, Joe Brady gone, long gone.
Oh man,
first flight out of Charlotte, Douglas.
Oh man, I don't say shit like that.
Did you write? I mean, he got a damn interview after his first year, and come on, bro.
He got 2 interviews, but no second interviews, and folks talking about, oh, we got a top coaching commodity. No, we don't.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
Don't be fooled, folks.
Right.
Jason Marsh said Cam Newton gave us 50 touchdowns with nobodies.
He had a good old line that year, though. Interior old line was probably one of the best in the league. At Norwell, Khalil, and Trey. Michael Orr was playing good football that year. As bad as Rimmers played in the Super Bowl, he was serviceable throughout the season. So yeah. I just thought we protected him well that year. He was able to step into his throws and add that pocket. I don't know. I'm not confident Darnold will have that kind of protection, especially on that left side with Irvin and Elfline, you know, being under pressure. All that time,
we hate on that old line, but bruh, the only reason why we hate on them is because they played the best front 7 in the last decade or so in football.
Yeah, but I mean, whose fault is it? Mike Rimmers for not being able to block Von Miller, or Mike Shula for making Mike Rimmers try to block Von Miller one-on-one?
Yeah,
Shula. He will put the blame where it belongs. I
mean, he was Shula, in so many one-on-one situations, man. I don't understand. Bro, even after the halftime, he still had him in one-on-one situations. What the fuck? Sick.
Actually,
one step further, you see a lot of those sacks, the fullback was supposed to chip and didn't. So that's the thing about football, assigning blame. I'm just trying to make a point here. You think you was watching on TV, oh, it's Rimmer's fault. And you say, why is he one-on-one? Oh, that's Shula's fault. Then you watch it again and you hear Greg Olsen and people talk about it. You see a fullback not chipping when he was supposed to. So now you're understanding there's more to it than just one guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, fullback that decided to want to, you know, wear Nike gloves for the first time all season and had 2 fumbles. But, you know, I'm going to let that be great. But, yeah, Cam actually had 45 touchdowns, 35 passing, 10 rushing. So it wasn't quite that 50 mark here, but close enough. But, because here's the thing, you know, let's just say we did get good old line play. Will, you brought up, you was bringing up the stats. Like, I don't know if you remember off the top, but and we had to take it with a grain of salt because we know how we feel about PFF, but didn't they say something about even with a clean pocket, like Sam Darnold was like in the bottom part throwing from a clean pocket? You know what I'm saying? So how depressing would that be if this line that we're so worried about actually plays decent and well, you know, and that takes place. Be like, man, god dang, you know what I'm saying? So, just something to look out for.
That comment. Why do we still have 2 long snappers on this team, gentlemen? Why?
Somebody's agent made a deal and got his guy drafted in the 7th round.
Say no more.
Any questions?
I had to turn my camera on for this one.
Oh, well, Larry,
J.J. Jansen still winning the long snapper competition.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? The Larry types, I don't want to hear anything, or I don't want to hear nothing about no O-line or no line when most of y'all were against me when I said resign Norwell. I wasn't against that. Oh, man.
We ain't had no but, cap, bro.
I was going to say, that was a cap situation, I'm sure.
That was the last year of our cap hell, man. We ain't,
That hurt my feelings.
We ain't got no McDonald's money.
You know what? He hasn't been
after the last game, man. Don't let him fool you about his negativity on the O-line. Well, he came in our group chat and was like, oh, Cam Irvin had a great block. He showed some dog on him. I like what I thought of Cam Irvin. But don't let him fool you, young. In private, he liked what he saw from Cam Irvin last week. Don't let Smooth fool you. No, he ain't out there trying to be funny, but nah. He was impressed with Cam Irvin.
You don't think that was that Florida State bias coming out, do you, Will?
Possibly. Maybe. Florida State where the coach was shooting water guns at his guys catching punts. Try to train them for that.
Water guns.
Bro.
Help them, Lord. The Larry types, they found a way to give Shaq that bread. Yeah, right. They did. They gave the wrong man the money.
Hey, that was Herndon before he got the fuck up out of here. That was Herndonism. That was Herndon's last bad contract.
Fucking figures.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Shaq, but like I said, I don't know what happened. But you know, different players respond differently. But like I say, he ain't been the same since his mom passed when we was over in London. Mm-hmm. Like you've seen his game is just like he'll show glimpses. He'll make us think he about to break out of it. But that consistency, man, I don't know, man. I would like to think with this D-line talent in front of him that he can, bounce back and have a stellar year. But, you know, with Jermaine Carter being mentioned as a starter, Mike, so that puts Shaq back at what, outside linebacker? You know what I'm saying? Well, it depends on what front we run, because if we run the 30 front, yeah. I think him and Jermaine would be the insides and Brian Burns and Reddit would be the outside linebackers on a 30 front, particularly if we went base. But, interesting to see. J.D. Boy got the start in his fourth year. How ironic, a contract year. So,
I hope
y'all paid Shaq this? Hold my beer. If people like, hold on, that's that Herndon money. We don't play that. We don't do that here.
No, Herndon money got something for him. He gonna be like, oh nah, bro. I hope he forced us to come up off the bag though, for making him sit behind inconsistency for a whole season.
Mm-hmm. But you know, well, I gotta be honest though. He was bragging about wanting to make special teams Pro Bowl now, so let's not act like his focus was all about that. He spent the whole offseason talking about vote for me Pro Bowl special teams, like, bruh.
Boy, in no way, boy.
Stop.
Yeah. But Suleiman be having ideas like he's in the Godfathers. I have a deal that you cannot refuse.
So I know we talked briefly about the defense already. First team, our front is going to be a problem. Our linebacker core is a question mark. Honestly, I know Carter's really he's become the student of the film room now, akin to Keekly kind of sort of. He's spending a lot of time in the film room and stuff, man. So I mean, I would like to see Carter have a breakout season. I really would. I love his energy and things of that nature. Our secondary is going to be tested, man. But quite honestly, I think the pass rush will make a difference in that scenario. If we can stop the run, we're going to be a problem. If you got
Raven game, they got gashed a little bit in the run game. I think the weaknesses are on the perimeter. I think that's where we got to toughen up a little bit. I think Brian Burns is much improved as an edge setter. We saw a lot of improvement last year from his rookie year. So yeah. I expect him to be better there. Hassan Reddick, man, he's like 230 pounds. I don't think he'll ever really truly be a edge setter in the run game. So maybe that's a weaknesses they look to attack at. So we'll see how that goes. I love what we got in the interior with Jones and DB. I mean, they're going to be, you know, clogging up that inside pretty well. Linebackers, you know, see how Carter does as a starter. I mean, that's going to be where the upgrade is. Carter, instead of Whitehead, he's going to be able to, you know, take advantage of those Derrick Brown double teams, stay clean, get in, scrape, make those tackles. But, and that's my biggest concern is more the run defense, especially on the perimeter. And we'll see how that improves. That was our weakness last year.
Yeah, man. I know a lot of people have been talking about why we should sign Robbie, and this question is why sign Robbie when they tried to trade him. Look, I mean, we're going to have TMJ for at least another three seasons, hopefully four seasons, maybe even. Why not have, you know, a solid number one, 1A, 1B receiver and a stud in the wings? You know, I mean, folks, you want to make it as difficult as possible for defensive coordinators to guard what the fuck you can do. If you have the more weapons you have, the harder it is to guard, especially when you got CMC coming out the backfield.
Let's talk about the trade. That was never a verified rumor. People like this in the offseason. Everybody's on the trade block. I mean, it is what it is. So the guy being on a trade block isn't the news that you think it is. Mm-hmm. So just because maybe his name got bought up in talks, nothing ever went through, he's still here. Why do you keep him? I mean, why is Tampa Bay allowed to have – let's look what Tampa Bay's got, right?
Get
we got
him.
Ronald Jones. We got Leonard Fournette. We got Mike Evans. We got Chris Godwin. We got Antonio Brown. We got Cameron Brate. We got O.J. Howard. Why are they allowed to have seven legitimate weapons? And y'all complaining about us having three.
And Gronk, that's eight.
Right. Gronk, yeah, eight. I mean, come on, man.
It's like Panther fans, like we just been so mediocre as a franchise that we got mediocre thoughts here. It's like, oh, we got more than two good receivers. Oh, we can't keep them all or whatever. Like, look how long, like you just mentioned Tampa Bay. Like, look how long KC them been they able to keep Kelsey, Tyreek Hill. McCole Hartman. They drafted another. I know they went to Vestline. They picked up somebody else, if I'm not mistaken.
Edwards is still there.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, like, this rule that we can only have but so many playmakers on offense, you know, like, one injury could happen at any given time on any play. You know, you got to keep the show going. Two, there's a certain thing called having quality depth, as well. You know, like I was mentioned earlier, to put pressure on defenses by having your four best wide receivers out there on the field at one time. Pick a poison, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to get this work. So, I mean, Panther fans, like open up your mind and realize it's okay to have five, six, you know, reliable threats on the field. I know they can't all be out there exactly at once, but it's okay that every time we line up, we got three people that the defense is worried about. And they're trying to figure out which one is going to cover. And we hope that the ones that ain't getting covered, you know what I'm saying, ain't getting the ball. Like, it's okay to put pressure on a defense by having that many, you know what I'm saying, playmakers, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, just be open. Just open up your imagination to, you know, if anything, this is why I would encourage y'all to use that Madden mind frame of having, you know, more explosive players. Like, stop thinking that we can only have just a couple and that's it.
Ah, man, we got to utilize that stuff, man. What you think, JD?
I'm going to keep it real simple for you. I feel like that question is like, why we got so many guys? Like, bruh, we don't got to eat ramen noodles no more. We can eat filet mignon sometimes, bruh. We ain't got to starve, beloved.
Yeah.
Look, I've seen too many reps of Kalen Clay struggling to stack a corner on the boundary, finally stack him, make his move and drop the ball. Like, are y'all not sick? Are y'all not tired? I'm tired of seeing Brenton. Lord bless Brenton Burson. He was solid, but like, bro, come on now. Do you think Jalen Ramsey was stunting Brenton Burson when we rolled? Man, if we roll what's his name, Mose Frazier out there, you think a defensive back is gonna be like, oh, they got Robbie and DJ, boy, they solid. They ain't stunting none of that. You hear me? They ain't worried about none of that mid. None of it.
Reggie.
Yeah, boy, Reggie. You want to see a cornerback fall asleep? I dare you. I dare you to split Ian Thomas out wide. Do it. They will fall asleep on your look. Y'all gonna make me cuss. Let me turn my mic off.
I feel you, man. I feel you.
Yeah, hey, let's see that steak 48 some damn time. Like you said, put them Roman noodles down. Like,
yeah, I do that no more. You know, it's the season's now, man. Either you win or you don't.
I'm saying, like, because we got it out the mud, don't mean we got to stay in the mud, beloved.
Facts. Shit. We can put on that good. We got to play in these games, man. But anyway.
Man, we had Joe Webb out there wide take. Man, I wish y'all gonna have to kick me out. Cause this really hurt my soul that we really thought oh my God. We really bought in some AFL, XFL receivers. Like, oh, come on, bro. Come on, take these reps. Oh my God. And y'all think Marshawn Lattimore gonna fear us two times a season, and we out here rolling Mose Frazier out there to run a nine. Boy, he out here doing that in his sleep. You hear me?
You say Tecmo Bowl play.
We keep it real. Man, we gonna let these nines fly, and y'all ain't gonna say nothing else about it.
Oh man.
Explain what a nine is. Some people might think you're talking about a gun, bro.
Yeah. Please.
Come nine on. Route. That's a fade.
Yes.
And we're going to be giving out fades like barbers.
Oh, no.
That's what we're going to do. Well, we get this old line right, we'll be able to do that. Right now, we're going to be running slants and stuff. But we're going to get that started.
We're going to lay it back on here.
Boy, we're going to get that one day. We're going to be able to add some depth to this route tree. Right now, we got a route bush.
Not the bush.
It's a route bush.
No, bush said it, lemon.
It's very constricted. It's very constricted. Nothing over a six. All right, so shoot. What time's the game Friday? 7:30?
7:30.
Bank of America Stadium, man. Last preseason game. And hey, since you guys are still on here, heads up, and we'll let you guys know. Our first post-game show will be this Friday evening after the Steelers game. All right, so we'll be back on our hustle with some, you know, real-time breakdown, whatnot, just after the game. We'll go through the box score and all the good stuff, prepping for the Jets game the following week. And, you know, we'll be back on our Grizzly, bud.
Yeah, we just need one preseason game to get right. That's all we need.
That's all, man. Just get the rest off, you know. Whatever.
What Nas said, I just need one mic.
Taking it back, man. Taking it back.
You know about that, Tim?
I love that shit. That's my shit right there.
Let's go.
I'm from the South, man, but I was a New York rapper kind of dude. Oh, okay. NY shit. Yeah. But yeah, folks, be sure you guys tune in, man. Should we just do it straight up on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter? We'll go live on all the platforms pretty much for the post game.
Yeah. Yep, just tune in to all the platforms.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we're gonna talk about it. Hopefully we'll have some good things to say. One of our viewers commented that they were worried about the Jets game. Are we going to pull that off? I don't know. We're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but can we beat the Jets? You guys fearful of the Jets? What you think, Will?
We got next week to break down the Jets. Honestly, I haven't watched them. I don't have much of an opinion. I just see highlights from Zach Wilson. He's balling. Well, we knew he was good, but yeah. I mean, it's hard to say right now. I mean, none of us have really seen enough about the Jets to give you that type of detail breakdown on their roster, what they have. I mean, I just know they're big name guys like Zach Wilson. They got Mekhi Becton, Quinnen Williams, a good player, CJ Mosley. We'll get into more of that next week, man. We haven't had that opportunity to break that team down yet.
Yeah. We're not gonna give you any fluff.
Stay tuned. The cool part is by this time next week, we'll have the final 53, right?
Oh yeah. Cool.
Yep. Yeah, because I'm looking at it. Yeah, roster down to 53 August 31st. So that's
That's it.
So yeah, that's gonna be fun. That's gonna be fun to discuss.
No doubt.
Yeah, man. You know, who we like, who we mad about. Who we like? How the hell did he make it?
So make sure you guys tune in next week for our podcast on that as well, man. We'll talk about the roster, finished roster, who's going to be starting, and all that good stuff. And we'll talk about the Jets coming up. So another reason to tune in. Yeah, man. All right, Panther fans, we'll get up on off of here. You guys have any parting shots? Yeah. All right. Well, of course, as always, Panther fans, thank you so much for dropping by on our Twitter and Facebook live recording of our podcast. Be sure to hop on over to the 4manrush.com. We have some great write-ups. If you haven't checked out the breakdowns throughout camp and all that good stuff and roster movements, all that stuff, go check out our blogs, man. We got some great write-ups from the fellas, man. You guys will really enjoy that. Of course, you can check us out on Instagram as well, Twitter, Facebook, obviously. Our YouTube channel is tight. You need to go check that out. Hey, and that's how it is. Shout out to Manscaped, manscaped.com, 4MRscape20. Enjoy saving some money on that and getting something to take care of the gentles. Right on. So, on behalf of the 4-Man Rush crew and myself, thanks so much, folks. And as always, keep pounding. Steelers, Friday night, 7:30. If you can make it to the game, get your ass down and shoot. Enjoy that. The stadium lit, boy.
Be cool if I could do the post game while still at my seat in the stadium.
I heard you get a really good Wi-Fi system, so yeah, you might be able to.
We'll see. Stay tuned.
Shit, why not? Appreciate you guys, man. Y'all have a great night, man. Thanks again. Appreciate you. She love it. We out in public and we can just chill with my partners and we can go back to my crib and just chill under covers. And do we come me and you love us? The 4-Man Rush is brought to you by the love and respect of and for the Carolina Panthers and Carolina Panther fans everywhere. Keep pounding. The 4-Man Rush is a non-affiliate of the Carolina Panther organization. All thoughts, assessments, and content of this podcast is directly related to the 4-Man Rush exclusively. Thank you.